Well, here's a fun fact. Only about 3% of all the books available here in the U.S. are translated from other languages. And in that tiny slice of literature, we've been seeing a lot more of one kind of book recently, Chinese sci-fi. The genre is having a moment here in the U.S., and there are signs that Chinese sci-fi is about to make it big in other countries. The World's Lydia Emanalidou reports.
If you're a science fiction or fantasy nerd like me, you might have heard of ReaderCon. It's an annual literary conference that happens here in the Boston area. I was there a few months ago, and that's where I met Neil Clark, publisher of the monthly sci-fi magazine Clark's World.
We're surrounded by books. We're in the book room.
Clark is sitting behind his little book stand, surrounded by stacks of magazines and books he's brought here to sell. He points out examples of Chinese sci-fi in translation, a couple novels, anthologies of short fiction, and then there are the translated stories that he's been featuring in his own magazine.
On the front row of the table are the last 12 issues we've published of the magazine, and there's one in every one of those.
Translated work, let alone work from China, is not something you would have found here 5-10 years ago, Clark tells me, but things have changed.
In some ways, it's almost like we woke up, because they've been doing this for a while. It's just we haven't seen the stories.
Scholars trace the origins of modern Chinese sci-fi to the beginning of the 20th century, about 50 years before communism came to China and the People's Republic was established. China was on its last dynasty, and a revolution was brewing. The Qing dynasty, people felt, had failed them, failed to modernize China and to guard against foreign powers. Xia Jia is a sci-fi author and a professor of Chinese literature at Xi'an Jiao Tong University. In those early days, she says, Chinese sci-fi was mostly a utopian vision of what China could become.
You can see that at that time, most of the stories are just imagination about a new China in the future. And they just imagine that China can be more powerful, more developed, more modern.
Over the next century, Chinese sci-fi took many different forms and shapes. There were periods when the Chinese government embraced its idealism and packaged it into propaganda. At other points, it was suppressed, seen as a foreign influencer that was polluting Chinese culture. By the early 2000s, homegrown science fiction was really only popular in niche circles in China.
I remember that in 2006, I was interviewed by a journalist, and she wanted to write a report entitled Does Science Fiction Die in China?
It certainly seemed like it might have died, but actually it hadn't. There were sci-fi writers. It's just that few people were paying attention to their work. Ken Liu was one of those people. He's a writer and a computer programmer and a lawyer based here in the U.S.
My thought was just, this is so cool. I'm reading a lot of great stories that are really interesting.
There were stories about global warming, social inequality, technological advancements, things you would expect to find in any sci-fi. But in some ways, the work was also uniquely Chinese.
The basic conflict, if there's anything unique about China, it's this. China has undergone modernization in the last 3 decades that took the West something like 300 years to go through.
The sci-fi writers that Ken Liu read expressed concern about things spinning out of control, too much change happening too fast, economic and social gaps in China getting wider and wider. Ken Liu was a big fan of the work he was seeing coming out of China. So he thought, what if I translated it? He didn't have any formal training in translation. Still, the first story he ever translated landed him and its Chinese author a small award here in the U.S. in 2012.
And so I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, if I can bring more of my friend's work into English to share with fellow Anglophone fans, that's really cool.
Over time, Ken Liu brought dozens of stories and novels to the U.S. The recognition the work was getting here started having an impact for writers back in China, writers like Tang Fei. We spoke over the phone recently, and her friend translated for us. She told me that back in 2013, Ken Liu translated one of her stories, Call Girl, and helped her get it published here in the U.S.
杂志之类的话，我忘了，但是他是把它定义为奇幻小说。
She thinks that it helps a lot in terms of how readers and critics in China sees her work. And recently, she just got her first short story collection published in China. So she thinks that it's important to have your stories translated.
It was only after she got published in the U.S. that those stories started appearing in China. Other writers who had similar experiences told me they find this problematic, that it takes getting attention in the West for their work to be recognized back home. But Tang Fei told me she doesn't mind. Of course, it took a lot more than just a translator to elevate the profile of an entire genre. The stories were really good. And there's also the fact that more people are paying attention to China and its technological ambitions as it vies to become a world superpower. But ask anyone in the know about Chinese sci-fi and they'll tell you. Ken Liu was a key figure, the key figure in this story, a story that had its biggest moment in 2015.
Thank you, and welcome to the 2015 Hugo Awards Ceremony.
Think of the Hugos like the Oscars, but for sci-fi and fantasy literature. A translated Chinese science fiction novel called The Three-Body Problem was up for the biggest award, Best Novel. It was written by China's Liu Cixin, translated by Ken Liu. And it tells the story of humanity's potentially dooming encounter with an alien civilization.
And Hugo goes to the Three-Body Problem.
This was a big deal. It was the first time a translated book ever won the award. It drove up sales not just in the U.S., but also in China.
That's the real turning point for making Chinese science fiction a big thing, both in China and internationally.
Regina Kanyu Wang is with a company called Storycom. It's based in Beijing, and it finds and commercializes Chinese sci-fi. She told me that an entire industry has popped up in China to bank on the sci-fi craze.
We think science fiction will be the future popular genre in not only literature, but also movies, games, and other media platforms.
The real test for Chinese sci-fi, Wang told me, will come down to one thing, films. Last month, China released its first ever big sci-fi production. It's called The Wandering Earth. It started out as a novel written by Liu Cixin, the writer of the Three-Body Problem trilogy. The plot goes something like this. The sun is rapidly expanding and is about to engulf the Earth. A newly formed global government is on a rescue mission to propel the Earth out of the solar system and humanity to safety. Spoiler alert, it's ultimately China that saves the world. So far, the movie is a hit in China. And Netflix recently announced it bought the rights to stream it. All promising signs that Chinese sci-fi is here to stay. For The World, I'm Lydia Manolidou.